for the fourth reading. We will read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 5 and 6. Overthrowing reasonings and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every thought into the obedience of the Christ, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall have been fulfilled. Then Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God that ye were bondmen of sin, but have obeyed from the heart the form of teaching into which ye were instructed.
Just a few thoughts to allow us to open into this section. We've already sung about the obedience of the Lord Jesus, his faithfulness to his Father, to his will, the Father's will. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that is a theme that could fill up thousands of conferences, just that theme alone. But how wonderful to think that, as we talked yesterday, as many suggested, there was the meekness and gentleness of Christ at the beginning of the section of 2 Corinthians, and then the obedience of Christ in verse 6. And so from the beginning to the end, our experience with God is based upon the person of Christ and his work and his person, his character, everything to do with him. And I was just thinking of a verse in Ephesians 2. It says, I'll just read from verse 1. It says, and you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So with the Lord Jesus, it was a perfect line of obedience the whole of his time on this earth. And so there is never a mark or a turning off course or a misstep in his life. He could not sin because there was no sin nature in him. But with us, it's altogether a different story. We have a nature, as we heard very clearly yesterday, a nature that wants to do our own will. Naturally, the flesh says, my will, not thy will be done. That's what the flesh says. And we were children by nature of wrath, and we were also children of disobedience. And for many of us, or maybe I should say for some of us, we can remember quite well how much our life was marked by direct disobedience. And yet God, and thank God for the but gods in Scripture, God changed our course. He changed our course. He turned our course completely around. And he presented to us, and he worked in our hearts, and he presented to us his marvelous gospel. And what do we have to do with the gospel? Maybe some younger men and women know. What do we have to do with the gospel? The first thing we have to do.
Anybody know? Obey the gospel.
Obey them. Maybe the young brother, thank the Lord. Obey the gospel. It starts with obedience. Starts with obedience. And so it's wonderful how God takes us who are children of disobedience and turns us around and sets us on a new course. Now we are not children of disobedience anymore. So now we're on a new course. And so Paul's desire, I think, is what we'll develop in this. Paul had a desire that these saints come along with him in this pathway of obedience until it be fulfilled. So may the Lord help us to keep our eyes on Christ, the perfect servant, but also to realize that obedience is now our responsibility. It's part of the nature that we've received from God. So may the Lord truly help us to respond and have responsive hearts to this and know that obedience is not a negative thing. When you're a child, sometimes you think when you have to obey your parents, not again. But actually, obedience is a positive thing. A positive thing, especially when God gives us his word, his commandments. And the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
at least we weren't sure the devil. Somebody might say that he's unsafe to the child of the devil. No, he's a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. Children of the devil cannot be saved. We were sons of disobedience, sons of wrath, even as others.
The question came up yesterday about the term that is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, again, is the knowledge of God. And one of the young people asked after the meeting, what does it mean, the knowledge of God? Maybe we can just touch on it a little bit, because I think that's definitely makes the dividing line between somebody that is not a believer and somebody that came to the knowledge of God and trusted the Lord Jesus as his or her personal Savior. Maybe to make it a little easier, I think the concern was the term that the reasonings or the imaginations against the knowledge of God. When someone comes to know God, they realize first that God is righteous. God is light. The first thing that comes to mind is, if I'm doing something that I need not to be revealed, I need to remain where I am, in darkness. That's why it's very appealing that the reasonings or the imaginations against the knowledge of God to the natural man makes it very obvious that you need to hide. You need to run. You don't need to come to know God, but you need to kind of have that same self-centered lifestyle. Everything is revolving around myself. Because when you come and realize that things are revolving around myself, I will do everything for myself. Then you come and realize that, well, I am dead in sin and trespasses, as Ephesians 2 definitely tells us. I realize that you have one of two choices. God does not twist anyone's arm. The knowledge of God would bring you to realize that God is holy. And to have a relationship with God that is holy, there is a measure of holiness that is no less than the holiness of God. And that's where the obedience of Christ, even unto death, the death of the cross comes in. The cross of Christ testified to the holiness of God. That man is under the judgment of God because of the self-centered type of life. I'm going around myself. Well, when I die with Christ, as Romans 6 suggests, we go from that revolving around myself to I am dead in Christ. Then when I live for Christ. There is a new center to my new life. That is Christ. So the holiness of God now becomes something that does not threaten the believer. Why? Because the holiness of God is something that you can approach based on the obedience of Christ.